All right, John chapter 1. I really think this is a very important message here this morning. There's a lot of things that, I just have trouble expressing. I wish I could get across what I see and understand and what I have in my heart. It's always a trouble to do that. I don't feel like it gets through. And it's not your fault. And it's not... It's a struggle to see people understand. We got to go back to the beginning. I knew when we were there that we weren't finished with the Word, but we just got to go back there. There's some things that I've been seeing and studying about, and the Lord's helped me to understand things about this matter, and I always know that it's right when it's just everywhere I look. When you understand something and you get a... I don't know how to put it. I just don't know how to... But I just know it's like growing. Gary's talking about growing. You grow in grace and knowledge. You grow in your understanding. You just do. And it's a slow process. It takes time. But there's times when you get a view into something that's just more than you've ever had. And you understand everything. Every one of these things. See, I'm stuttering around trying to say what I'm trying to say. Everything you understand helps you to understand everything better. Everything better. It's not just little peepholes you're looking through. It starts opening up where you can see the whole thing. The Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read the first three verses to start with. In the beginning was the Word. And there's a difference here because that's a capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So in the beginning there was God. That's all there was. God. That's how it starts. That's how everything starts now. It starts with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By who? By God. By the Word. By the Word. Who else is going to speak when there's only God? Who else is going to have a thought when there's only God? In the beginning was the Word. The Word. A word is a thought uttered. A word is it's the utterance of thought. Concepts. So... And without Him, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now here's another verse I want to read. John 1, chapter 1, same chapter, down verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now we've not seen God. We've seen Jesus Christ, who was the express image of the Father. But nobody's ever seen the Father face to face. He doesn't leave His habitation. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, who has came down from heaven? The Word. God is a spirit and man is flesh. God is a spirit. He doesn't dwell in earthly houses. He doesn't dwell in the physical realm. That's why we've never seen Him with these eyes. That's why we have never heard Him speak with a voice that rattles our eardrums. God is in His holy temple. We're on earth. Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, that the opening line of that model prayer is the acknowledgement that He is there and we are here. There's a great gulf between us. We're not together in the same place. And yet God's not millions of miles away. Don't think of it in dimensions like earthly dimensions or physical dimensions. It's not that way at all. God is a spirit, but He's not millions of miles away. Heaven's not a place that's so far away that beyond the stars and all of that. No. He's very near. But there's something separates us. God exists in a different realm than man does. God's realm is spiritual and man's is physical. Now, God created the physical universe. There's no argument about that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There you go. First gate right out of the first sentence in the Bible tells us that. He created the physical universe as a place for man to dwell when He created man in His own image and likeness. Now, we all see that, don't we? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out formed and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and God spake. And God said, see, what's that? Word. Mm-hmm. The Word of God. Now, God, let me just stick with what I've written. He had a plan, and He created man in His own image and likeness. But before He did that, He prepared this place for man to dwell in, this physical universe, this physical world. And God the Father, like I said, has never left His spiritual habitation to come to the physical realm in which man exists, but He did send somebody. In every instance where God has communicated with man, He has done it through His Word. Now, y'all with me? You say, well, that's simple. I mean, you ain't said nothing yet. It's very profound. Yes, I have. You just haven't heard it yet. It's not soaked in. God does everything through His Word. He creates. He communicates. He speaks life into existence. He gives life through His Word. In Him was life. And that life, the life, was the light of men. No life without God. But there's it's God's Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the same as God. He was with God. He was God. The Word. The Word. Why does John call Jesus Christ the Word with a capital W? Well, I think I understand. In every instance when God has communicated with man, He's done it through His Word. He gave the law to Moses. He sent prophets with messages from God. That was His Word. His Word is the way He does things. Then God sent His Son, the express image of His person, and made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And He is known as the Word of God. More than just this. We got a verse to read in Revelation. He's the Word of God. He's the Word of God. He is the Word of God. God created all things by His Word. God is life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 4. So, without life, the physical realm is empty and meaningless. It is without form or order, and it's void. This thing right here, it's dead. There's nothing of any use about that unless somebody gets there on those keys and plays it. Right. Something that's alive has to make things work. Or everything's just dead matter. It's just like a rock. It's just like something that's just laying there. This dirt. It's nothing. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. But how did He do that? How did He do it? His Word. Everything God has ever done is through His Word. Through His Word. So important. Anything that is alive is full of order and purpose. And there's a vitality. That's what it means. Animation. There's a vitality is what a word that describes something that's alive. Men are making robots. They're not alive. They're not alive. You can pull the plug and they're dead nothings. They don't do anything. They can't do anything because they're not alive. They're a machine that you can kick and start it and it'll ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Long as the energy's there to make it go. But it's not alive. Your car's not alive. It'll only go as long as the gas or fuel's in it. Right. Run it out, it stops. There's no vitality there. There's no life there. And it's just man's imitation of life. Life is from God. And it's not the result of chemicals and enzymes and mechanical functions. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you. When Jesus says, verily, verily, you better listen. He's saying something important. He's saying, you better listen to this, you better listen to this, you better listen to this. I'm saying something real important. And you're going to miss it if you don't listen. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. First thing, who's going to have everlasting life? First requirement. You got to hear his word. You got to hear his word. You can't just know about it. You can't just hear it so it rattles your eardrums and doesn't. Your soul, your spirit has got to hear the word of God. You're never going to be born again. You're never going to be born of the Spirit. You're never going to be a new creature in Christ. Old things are never going to pass away until you hear God speak to you. That's right. And I'm not talking out of a piece of toast or something, Gary, like you said. Seeing signs and wonders and miracles, that's superstition. It's not spiritual. It's superstition. It's the devil's counterfeit for spiritual things is superstition. Works pretty good for me. Life's from God. And it's not the result of any of the physical. It's not the result of anything physical. Life is from God. You got to get that. So, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How you pass from death unto life? By the word of God. There's another verse I've got. Let me just jump all the way ahead and read it here. I'll find it. Hang on. It's here somewhere. There it is. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How's that? All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What's his hope? Holding forth the word of life. Gary said it's not the preacher that makes you, makes you grow. No, it's not. It's the word of God that the preacher preaches that makes you grow. If you hear it. If he's preaching the word of God and you hear it, you grow thereby. But if you don't hear, he's just the messenger. That's all he is. He's got no supernatural power. The power is of God because life is of God. And the Word is life. And it's alive. The Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word. That's capital W again. John, 1 John, same guy writing this. Of the Word of life. The Word of life. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. We've seen him. We've handled him. We've touched him. The Word of life. And He was from the beginning. Life does not and has never evolved from physical matter. It's amazing to me that any human being with any kind of a sound mind could even entertain such a thought. Yeah, let alone believe it and make it the foundation for all education and understanding and everything. Man now is discerning everything by that, what they call a fact, that life evolved. They take it as a fact. They've taught for generations here in the schools till it's assumed to be a fact that life evolved. Life did not evolve. No, never. Not one instance. Never. It did not evolve on other planets. It never did. It never will. Life is of God. And it's by the Word of God. And if there's other life out there that we don't know about, it happened by the Word of God. Not evolving from a rock. It can't. It can't be that way. It's impossible. Life. It's a result of God imparting life to physical matter by His Word. John chapter 1 and verse 9. That was the true light, with a capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Life is no accident or some physical miracle that happens or happened by chance. No. They think they've got it figured out. If they've got it figured out, why can't they make it happen? Why can't they create life in a laboratory if they know how it all works? They don't know where life comes from. They just know it doesn't come from God because there is no God. And the reason they believe that is because they're sinners and they love their sin and they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why they believe it. That's why they cling to this lie so firmly. Life's no accident. It's the direct act of God in imparting life by His Word. This goes for spiritual life as well as physical life. The verse I just read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How are you born again? By the Word of God. Because the Bible says this, and I believe that, and so I'm born again? Is that how it happens? No, it's a miracle. It is a miracle of God when somebody is born again of the Spirit of God. It's not just you intellectually believing facts because the Bible says that, and so we know God doesn't lie, so I believe it, so that must mean that I'm born again. No, it doesn't. You've left out a whole bunch of stuff there. What about your sin? What about your guilt? What about your attitude? What about all you've done? Well, all you've thought? What about all that? If there is a God, then you're at odds with Him. You're at enmity with Him. Because He's holy. See, all that has to enter in before you're born again. You've got to hear God say to your soul some things. Like, thou fool. Do you remember when the Spirit of God said to your soul, you are a fool? Now, you didn't say it to yourself, because you would never call yourself a fool. A fool will never call himself a fool. Unless he's just trying to be humble and excuse himself for his sin in front of other people. But in your very soul, you're shown by God. No man come to me except the Father who sent me would draw him. A lot of people think the Holy Spirit draws you. The Bible doesn't say that. It says the Father draws you through His Word. See? That's how it works. The Father draws you. The Father calls you. How does He do it? He sends messengers to you. He sent the Holy Ghost to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Without excuse. This whole world is lying without excuse before God. So this truth becomes more visible to man and understandable as we get to the end of this age. The closer we look at physical life around us, the clearer the image of God and God's truth is revealed. Have you ever saw this thing where they start out in way out in space and it's just stars? And then they start zooming in and you see the Milky Way galaxy, and then you finally come down to the sun and the solar system and then to Earth, and then it comes down onto Earth and it goes down to Florida, and then it goes down to a tree and a leaf, and then there's cells in the leaf, and then the nucleus in the cells of it. You ever saw that? It's pretty mind-boggling. Have you ever took a flower and took a picture of it? And now we've got cameras that take such good pictures. You can just keep zooming up on that flower, and you begin to see the intricacies of it and the details. The closer you look at anything that's alive, the more detail you see. Anything that man has made, the closer you look at it, the more muddled up and mess that you see. The more confusing it gets, because it's just a big smear of nothing. When man's got his hand to it. When God's got his hand to it, man hasn't found the end of it yet. They haven't. Well, they say there's an atom, and there's nucleus in the atom, and there's protons and electrons orbiting around the nucleus in an atom, but there's things they call quarks, and they're even smaller than that, and they don't know what they are and what in the world. They just keep looking, and they keep looking outward into space, and they just keep seeing more and more. And it just gets more complicated for them because it's so much detail they can't absorb it or interpret any of it. Their theories change every day because they don't know what to do with all this information. I've been reading about DNA and stuff. Some of you have some, and I'm just going to say a few things here, but let me tell you something. It's by no means, I'm not a scientist or anything, but if you just understand the basic things about this matter right here, DNA has caused a lot of true scientists who were atheists to become believers in intelligent design. Now, that don't mean they've been born again or they serve the God of creation, but they can no longer believe that life just happened by accident. They just can't believe it. It's too obvious that this was intelligently designed. DNA is called the God molecule by worldly scientists. Because they don't know any other way to communicate what they see. They don't know any other way to describe what this thing is. The God molecule. It's the basic blueprint of life. And it exists in every cell of every living creature, plant, everything that's alive on earth. Amazing. Yes, it is. It's the basic blueprint. It's so complex and so beyond human comprehension in its design and potential that it's literally mind-boggling. I read the other day that a strand of DNA, which is microscopic, it's inside a cell, which is microscopic, inside the nucleus of the cell, which is microscopic, and it's so tiny. And yet, the little bit that's in there, they said it would contain enough information, and they're just guessing. They're just guessing a wild guess like they do when they look up at the stars. But to them, they said it contains enough information to fill enough books to reach 500 times as far as the moon is from the earth. It's overload that men cannot comprehend. It's what they're saying is it's beyond human comprehension. What's in every cell of your body. That's the blueprint for life. That they think they're going to figure out and recreate themselves. Take that privilege away from God. That power away from God. We're going to be as God. And we're going to figure it out. So we can make life. Man's all about destroying life, though. Why does he want to make it? Take something so complex and his primary purpose in any new invention or power is to figure out how to kill more people with it, like nuclear bombs. When they discovered the power of the atom, what was the first use? Kill people. They always say, we're going to do great things with this. We can heal diseases. We can provide free energy. But what do they use it for first? To kill everybody with. That they don't like. beware of this genetic engineering.
Yes.
That's what it's about. And that'll be the first use of it. It's not going to be the miracle that man has come to himself and figured out how to save everybody from all sickness and sorrow. And it's a spiritual problem, not a physical. What we're talking about right here is physical. Don't forget that. This God created this, but He put His stamp on everything He created. And the closer you look at it, the more you're going to see God. Even His eternal power and Godhead. Think of that while we're talking about this. The information stored in DNA is so far beyond what man has ever dreamed of being able to store in his memory sticks and chips. It's something like as far as the heaven is above the earth. You know, the first computer I had in 1991, my word processor that I'd always use for, it was a typewriter, that's what it was, for mailing prayer letters and stuff, it died on me. And so I was going to buy me another one. Harry Moore said, "You need to buy a computer." I said, "What I need a computer for?" "Well, this would be so much more." "So I know a guy," he said. "He'll make you a deal." So I went and bought one. Went down there and I asked him. It had a 40 meg hard drive. It had 640K RAM. Yeah. It was fast. Had a 12 megahertz processor. For you that don't understand or know any of this, that is not even, that's a 12 megahertz. Now we have, most of them have 3.4 gigahertz, which is like a million times more power. The memory, you know, is, well, I think I've got 32 gigs of...
I have a terabyte on my laptop.
Yeah, well, that's your hard drive.
Oh, yeah.
We, you know, we're not... But I'm talking about, you know, I said, "How much information will this computer hold?" He said, "Oh, man," said, "it'll hold a stack of books that high, probably. You'll never need any more room on this hard drive." Well, within 6 months, I was out of room, had to do something different. And we just stand amazed. See, everybody's amazed at how it's grown. It ain't even, why, it's not even close to what we're talking about here. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. Now, I went and studied this out and I found it for myself. I didn't just listen to somebody else and I'm repeating to you what somebody else said. I went and found this out and it's true. Deoxy means God. I don't know why they like using Latin and Greek words to name stuff, because it sounds more complicated, I guess, to everybody, more impressive. But deoxy means God. Rebo means Lord and Master. Nucleic means center. And acid is like liquid fire. So the name given to this substance by people who do not believe in God was, "God is the fire at the center of my being." That's what DNA literally stands for. They named it that. The church didn't. Christians didn't. Some preacher didn't. They named it that. DNA is the nucleus. It's in the nucleus of every cell. It never leaves the nucleus of the cell. But it controls the whole organism. The DNA controls everything, but it doesn't leave the nucleus of the cell. Never. How does it do it? I mean, a memory stick is just a memory stick. It contains information. But what good is it? How does it translate into physical reality? Something we can hear, see, touch, feel. How does that happen? The Word. The Word. It never leaves the nucleus of the cell. So how does DNA control the whole organism if it doesn't leave the nucleus of the cell? If DNA has no arms and legs and feet and hands and voice, how does it do it? Well, the answer is RNA. RNA is a copy of a part of the DNA that is able to go through the wall of the nucleus and out into the cytoplasm of the cell. And they're called messengers. This is what they call them. not what some Christian calls them. They're messenger RNA. There's different kinds of RNA that's got other letters in front of it, but what the DNA does is it knows all that's going on. How does it do that? Because there's life there. Man don't understand how the DNA knows this. How does the DNA, what in that DNA decides this and sends this? What? How does it work? We think it's just a chemical. It's not just a chemical. There's life there. When you die, you know, if somebody comes in, pow, and you just fall over dead, all your DNA is still in there. They can go around and scrape DNA, your DNA off everything you touch. Is it alive? Not if you're dead. When the life leaves, the DNA is just stuff again. See, there's life there. That's just, the DNA is the physical part of your body that the Spirit uses to control everything else. And it's just like when you die, your hands quit moving, your eyes stop seeing, everything stops. All the physical is still there. And it goes back to the dust from whence it came. But life is gone. And see, they don't understand that. But they can see it all right here. They can see even God's eternal power and Godhead. This is exactly what the Bible says. It sends out messenger RNA. What it does is it makes a copy of part of itself that goes through the cell, or the nucleus wall, into the inside of the cell. Each cell is like a universe in itself. It's enclosed. But there's all kinds of things in the cytoplasm of that cell that do all kinds of other different jobs. Makes enzymes. It does all kinds of things. And that RNA tells, it goes out there, goes to where it's supposed to go. The cell does what it's supposed to do, creates the enzymes it's supposed to create to do a certain job, to whatever. All the things that are in the process of life and the organism. How do the cells communicate with one another? Life. That's the answer. Life. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is that true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. They're called messengers. They carry instructions from the DNA to carry out in the physical realm outside of the nucleus where the DNA exists. Now, if the DNA was not able to do that, it would simply be a memory bank of information that had no effect on anything. DNA is also able to make exact copies of itself. Are you listening? So that when the cell divides, there's a new cell exactly like the original. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you get it? The express image of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. And what's His name? The Word of God. That's how it happened. That's how it always happened. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. How did He speak? Through the prophets. Through the messengers that He sent. What are angels called?
Messengers.
Isn't that interesting? That's what they are. God sent an angel with a message every time. God sent an angel with a purpose to accomplish. Like that angel that came down and killed those 186,000, whatever it was, Midianites that night. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now we cannot know God except through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because no man has seen God at any time. But we have seen his express image that came from heaven to us, to where we live. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh, just like it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, in all points to be made like unto his brethren. He became flesh. Any spirit anything that suggests anything that Jesus was not flesh, just like us, it says he didn't come in the flesh. It's the spirit of Antichrist. He was made like us. And yet, he was the express image of the Father. Now there, you just go home and think about that a while. The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. And we know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. John 14, verse 6. It really is that way. You talked about the different ways people perceive Christianity, Gary, the world, professing believers, and then religious dogma. It's that way with this, see. There's no way to know the Father except through his Son. That's the only way. He's the Word. Whatever God does, through his Word. To them, what is in this chapter here? Hang on a second. Let me get down to it. I got too many pages are stuck together here. All right, hang on. Just be patient with me here. I know what I'm looking for, if I can ever find it. Well, to as many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. See? He gave power. How does God give power? What is the power of God? What is the power of God? His Word. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What's his name? The Word of God. It's God's Word that is the power. You know, I've heard a lot of people through the years, oh Lord, send the power just now. Lord, give me the power. Men wanting power, wanting the power of God. No. You know, Elisha and Elijah. Elisha had one request, a double portion of Elijah's power. No. Don't misunderstand. His Spirit. He wanted a double portion of his Spirit. And the Lord gave it to him. And a lot of people misinterpret that because they think that's power. Boy, Lord give Elijah or Elisha double the power of Elijah. Elijah didn't have no power in himself. It was the Word of God that has the power. He spoke the Word of God. That was his power. That was the power that was exhibited by him, through him, whatever. But it was God's power because it was God's Word. Thus saith the Lord. That's the power. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke the worlds into existence. It's paganism when you hear these little stories about God formed a ball and he throwed it out in space. What did he form the ball out of? That was earth, you know. No, God said, and there it was. Because the Word of God is the power of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, how were the heavens there in the first place? By the word of God. I want to read two more verses here. I'm going to read a passage in Revelation, and then we'll read another verse, and then we'll be done here in just a second. I'd like to start at the beginning of Revelation 19. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. That's what old George Handel wrote, The Messiah. That's what he was reading. Harold Seitler preached a message for years before Hallelujah. That's the first part of Revelation 19. It's the wind-up of things. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And those words are capitalized. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called... Anybody want to say it? The Word of God, with a capital W. He's there at the beginning. He's going to be there at the end. That's why he says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. The first and the last. So every act of God and every creation of God is by His Word. Everything we can perceive in this physical universe came about by the Word of God. You want to look out there at the planets and the stars and all of the things that are out there. Everything they have found and everything they will find from here on out is there because God said for it to be there. Yes. Everything we know about God comes from the messengers He has sent. Now, you like it or not, if that stumbles you, you're just stumbled. God don't leave heaven and come to earth. He made a copy of Himself and sent it to earth. The express image of His person. We've seen Him. We've seen the Father. He was the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. Well, I don't understand some things. Well, join the club. God's God. There's a lot of mysteries. And if we could explain everything about Him, He wouldn't be God. He'd be just like us. We can't even explain everything about us. You don't even know why you do what you do. Or I don't know why I do what I do. You know. Why do we put our tape down and forgot where it was, Brother Briggs? Our pencil. Why do we do the things we do? We can't explain ourselves, let alone explain God. And there's always a mystery in all these things. But this is clear enough for me. Man, this is all I can think on for a while. So everything we know about God comes from and came from the messengers He has sent. And finally, from His only begotten Son, who was the express image of God Himself, made into human flesh. Now the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 1, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Now a lot of print ministries, they always use that verse, you know. But published doesn't necessarily mean put it into print. They published, they made known, they broadcast it, they took it everywhere. Great was the company of them that published it. That means that His Word has gone into the ends of the earth. Men have heard. And they refuse. Don't do that. How is it that children can grow up in a church where the Word of God is focused on, where it's preached, where the truth of it is expounded upon and lived around them and not here? Take heed how you hear. No wonder Jesus just pressed on that. You must hear. You must hear God. Not just the preacher. Not just mom and dad. Not just somebody else. You must hear the Word of God. Now the messenger brings the Word of God, but here's where the problem is in communicating. See, I heard preaching. I went to church. I knew people that witnessed to me. I remember people witnessing to me, but I didn't hear God. I heard them. I heard what they said, and I didn't take it to heart. I didn't accept it. I rejected it because I rejected them. It all changed when I heard God. I mean, when God spoke to me instead of them. And I'm not talking about I was laying on my bed and all of a sudden the wall started shaking or I looked up in the sky and there he was. I had somebody tell me one time I was riding on the back of my own motorcycle and I just looked up there in the cloud and there was Jesus sitting up there on a cloud. No, I'm not talking about none of that. God calls. Many are called. Many are called. God's not willing that any should perish. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. So without excuse, God's spoken. But have you heard? Will you hear? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Better take heed how you hear. Because nothing's going to be accomplished any other way. You can get baptized. You can make your profession. You can join the church. You can start coming to church. You can give all your money to feed the poor. Yeah. And you can do everything that a Christian's supposed to do and die and go right to hell. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Even the Word of God. The incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. God sparked your physical life. God had to give you life. The instant that you were conceived in your mother's womb, God imparted life to your body when it was just one cell. And that life is turned into you. You. And our life is in God's hands. There's so much more, but I'm going to stop. Went a little longer than I intended to, but I don't know if I've been able to say what I wanted to say or not, but I hope you'll... Here's what my goal is, to provoke you to think and to study. Go home. Read your Bible. If you caught what I'm trying to get across here this morning, you go home and start reading your Bible, you'll see it everywhere. You'll just see it everywhere. It'll just... It fits everywhere. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How can he understand? Well, the Spirit of God has to enlighten him. The messengers that God sent, what was the key thing that made them a real messenger of God? They were filled with the Spirit. Read it. Your Bible's full of it. Every time God sent a man, he was filled with the Spirit of God. That's what made the Word of God powerful. God's Word. You know, we send Bibles, and I'm not against that, but, you know, I've said for years, you know, we can print and send Bibles over and dump them somewhere in a foreign country, but what good's it going to do if God don't send a preacher? And if they don't hear? The Word of God has to be accompanied by the Spirit of God, or it's just a dead religious book to the world. I remember when it was that way to me. I know it's not that way now because there's something else there. There's light there. There's life there. Amen. All right, Father, I thank you for the Word of God. It's our life. It's everything. So important. No wonder you gave such stern warnings about men messing, changing, misinterpreting, misrepresenting your words. Lord, Help us to receive this morning the Word of God. And please help us to listen for Your voice and follow You. Lord, speak to hearts. Speak to those that are lost, those that are deceived, those that are in darkness and think they're walking in light. Please, Lord, help them to see. Thank You for the understanding in this matter here this morning. Thank You for the clearness of it in the Bible. Thank You for this book that is Your Word that You've given us to hold in our hand. Carry with us everywhere. We can always be reminded and we can always be corrected because our memory has infirmities and our flesh is full of infirmities, weakness, prone to error, prone to misunderstanding, and we've got it written in a book that does not change. Lord, help us to lean on it, to live off of it. Man cannot live by bread alone, You said, but by every word that proceedeth and cometh forth from the mouth of God. Bless the day. Bless the word in our hearts as we leave in Jesus' name. Amen.